This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Thursday, March 3rd, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air on the Memorial of St. Catherine Drexel. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast across America. It's great to be with you this morning. On Thursdays, I always make it a point to remind you that we should always remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. Visit the Blessed Sacrament today. If you can't for whatever reason, just take a moment and make a spiritual communion sometime during the day. This is a good practice to do, especially here during Lent. I want to bring in our news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, hard to believe, but we're already in the eighth day of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. What is going on? What's the latest?
Day eight, some of the southern cities being encircled, and word is close to being taken over by Russian forces, who we've noticed have kind of stalled in some senses in their attack on the capital, Kyiv, but lots still to come there. The refugee situation, over 1 million have fled across borders to neighboring countries, as many as a third of a million off to Poland as well. The UN says it's the worst refugee crisis this century, 22 years in right now. And the variety, John, of companies and entities that are doing something include IKEA, that's decided to pause all exports and imports in and out of Russia and Belarus and to stop all IKEA retail and industry operations. They've got 17 stores in the country, including 15,000 workers who are affected. And just one more company trying to do something.
You know, we hear these numbers, a million refugees and the majority of them pouring into to Poland. We have to remember that every single one of those numbers represents a person, a family, a mother, a father, a brother, a grandparents. I mean, it's the humanity of it is just overwhelming.
So often, too, just the moms and kids making their way across the border with required military service for all men between 18 and 60 in Ukraine. Sometimes the dads hugging the kids and wife goodbye at the border and heading back to the battle. That's hard to see. And we just heard, too, some of the audio from those who are staying behind, sheltering below ground in Kyiv is a tragic situation, too, John.
Many people all around the world are praying for this war to end. We're united in prayer with the Holy Father. The Polish Catholic Archbishop is also asking the Russian Orthodox leader, please ask Putin to stop this war.
Absolutely. Through the last few years, it appears he'd had a bit of a relationship with the Orthodox Archbishop there in terms of even building up some more Orthodox churches in Russia. So let's hope there is some influence for good there.
And I know there's all kinds of vigils and prayer services going on, especially within the Ukrainian community here in the Chicago area and in many parts of our country, praying for an end to this conflict.
Yeah, keep praying for peace. The people not happy in Russia either at what their country is doing.
Thanks, Glenn. We'll be checking in with you a little bit later on. Thanks so much.
Sure thing, John.
We begin every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. And of course, we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Luke 11, 9, and 10. Jesus the Lord says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open." During this Lent, we're called to prayer, to prayer with great childlike trust. The Lord wants us to pray with gratitude and to keep on asking, knowing that the Lord knows what is best for you. God answers our prayers if they are according to His will. We may not always like His answer. You should nevertheless, you never, ever, ever quit. Don't give up. Keep on knocking, keep on seeking and asking, because God will answer you. And we always pray with great confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." Now, have you had a chance to sign up for Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons on the Mass? This morning's lesson is outstanding. Father Rocky talked about genuflection in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Remember the words of St. Paul, "At the name of Jesus, every knee must bend." Tremendous teachings from Father Rocky. So I urge you to sign up at relevantradio.com/Lent. Get ready to learn the Mass, live the Mass, love the Mass more than ever before. Again, relevantradio.com/Lent. Now, can you believe it that Lent is definitely now here underway? In fact, this season of Lent has been described as a 40-day retreat, very similar to our Lord Jesus in the desert in preparation for His mission before He died on the cross. We need to prepare our soul to die to ourselves and accompany Jesus. But the question is, how do we do this? Joining us now to talk about why Lent is a time to convert our hearts, and what we can do to live this season closer to Jesus, is Bishop Edward Scharfenberger, the Bishop of the Diocese of Albany, New York, and of course, a regular contributor to Morning Air. Your Excellency, welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for being with us. It's always a blessing to be with you.
Thanks, John. Good to be back. And I've been following your conversation with Glenn about the situation in the Ukraine, and then, yes, segueing into Lent, which is right upon us. And you mentioned a few minutes ago about how Jesus himself spent 40 days and 40 nights in the desert prior to his ministry, beginning his ministry publicly. And that's one reason why we celebrate this as a period of 40 days. And in fact, many of the other Lenten practices, prayer and generous giving and certainly sacrificial acts, fasting and abstinence, dovetail very much with the way Jesus himself lived, you know. So that's one way of getting close to the Lord, by imitating his example in that regard, in his own, you might say, spiritual discipline, which I think he also did as a, not only because it was a thing that demonstrated the extent of his trust in the will of the Father, you know, his desire to follow the Lord's plan, you know, God the Father's plan, but also as an example for us. So both of them help us draw closer to Jesus in the life that he lived whilst among us on this earth. But at the same time, we have to remember that the focus of Lent, the center of Lent, is our relationship with Jesus himself, so we don't become so distracted by our own practices that we become fearful for not measuring up. You know, I said to the people yesterday at the 12 o'clock Mass, I might have shocked some, but I said, you know, today is a day of fast and abstinence. We observe fast and abstinence on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. We used to do abstinence every day in Lent but Sunday. But at any rate, those 2 days stand out. And so I said to them, but, you know, if you had bacon and eggs for breakfast, don't give up. You know, you can start right now. So even if the reality of Lent has just dawned on you, you can start right now exactly where you are.
Excellency, yesterday, of course, on Ash Wednesday was a day of reflection to really think about what the real meaning of these 40 days is. But it's very hard to go to Ash Wednesday Mass at this time, this unique time with the war going on in Ukraine, and not think of our brothers and sisters that are suffering over there. This is a great opportunity to pray fervently for the Ukrainian people, to pray for peace in Ukraine, and even to pray for Putin and Russia for a conversion and a change of heart.
Yes, and the power of prayer, as we were reflecting before, is enormous. So, I've often said this, I've heard it before, the most diabolical of all temptations is the temptation to discouragement. And it's very easy to become discouraged because of this, you know, but you could see that the Ukrainian people are not becoming discouraged. And also, as I believe Glenn mentioned before, and you might have been speaking about, is that the people in Russia, too, are not happy with this. And there's been public demonstrations there on the streets, and not being widely reported because the Russian news media is not going to let that out. But those that we know are on the ground there are saying that there's much discontent. So hopefully the message will get across to those behind this, to Mr. Putin. It's really a useless all war really is when you think about it. It's a kind of an act of despair when that we descend to these depths, and then the inhumanity, the lack of respect for human beings, which is so clear, which really highlights the evil of this war, but we turn to the Lord because He has the will and the desire to work through us, and hopefully He'll inspire those who can make the exert the kind of influence that is necessary to change the hearts that need to be changed.
Lent's been described by spiritual directors as a 40-day retreat. Can you talk about why each one of us, really do need this period of Lent?
Yeah, it's a retreat is, the word itself means a coming away from, a detachment of ourselves from certain routines that we may become used to, but don't necessarily do us any good, you know. So it could be different for each and every one of us. What are we retreating from, you know? And many people, for example, give up certain types of entertainment or certain types of foods. One way of reminding us that we may not depend upon them as much as we think. It could be certain types of media that we disassociate ourselves to. I've often, during these years in which we've been dealing with COVID, I've actually suggested as a penance to some penitents that have come to me that they refrain from watching television for a day or two. Many of them actually come back to me and said they felt better because sometimes quote-unquote news becomes a rehash of what is really not news, you know, and it can become almost obsessive at times. But Jesus himself often said to his disciples, come away to a quiet place with me and pray. And many times we know that Jesus would perform great works only after he had been in prayer for many hours, sometimes even days. So it was a practice that Jesus himself did and offers to us as an example. Take that time away. How do we do this? Maybe a resolution to spend 10 minutes in prayer in the morning. What we would usually do, maybe listen to the radio, get on the internet, you know, follow up on some news. To take 10 minutes instead just to be with the Lord. And very, very simply, Lord Jesus, I trust in you. As we prayed before, is a good way to begin a prayer period. We can repeat that, imagining Jesus looking at us, and then just say, Lord Jesus, I trust in you, and then pausing to listen to see what the Lord may have to say, praying for the graces of the day that we may be open to them.
At the end of the day, Excellency, I think our Lord wants our hearts. He wants our hearts to be purified. He wants our hearts to be converted and committed to His heart.
Nothing could be clearer. And, you know, I'm thinking sometimes people talk to me about the belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and some people struggle with that. And I said, well, look at the source. Look at who it was that said, you know, who identified with this action of taking the bread and wine and investing himself into that. This is my body. This is my blood. It's a way of Jesus demonstrating his desire to be intimate with us. And what more powerful expression of that could there have been than on the cross? And in John's gospel, the words of Jesus, I thirst. Those that heard those words responded in a mocking way, putting vinegar in his up to his mouth, or assuming that he was just thirsty for some liquid. But the cry was from the heart, I thirst for your soul. I thirst for you. Jesus is uttering a cry from the heart of God, thirsting passionately for our love, for our soul, for our heart. And this is so real because it's ratified by his self-gift. He's pouring himself out. What can a human being give as a greater sign of love than the gift of their very self? And Jesus pours out his humanity on that cross. What could be more credible a sign of his sincerity, his desire, his love, his passionate love for each and every one of us?
Your Excellency, Bishop Scharfenberger, we have about a minute left. Can you give us a couple pieces of practical advice on how we can make this Lent deeper Yes. and closer to Jesus?
Yes, I would say, you know, from the 12-step program, two things. First of all, one day at a time. And secondly, let go and let God. In other words, keep our eyes focused on Jesus, focused on the cross. That's the focus to which Lent leads. That's the focus every day. Think of it as a journey, as a pilgrimage with the Lord, and don't lose sight of it. Hang on to the cross.
Sounds great. Can you give us your blessing?
May God bless each and every one of us in the way that we most need to be touched by God's love at this point, and that we may trust in the Lord and receive the many graces he has in store for us every day throughout our Lenten journey. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Your Excellency. It's so much appreciated. Many blessings to you.
My pleasure. God bless.
Bishop Edward Scharfenberger, the Bishop of the Diocese of Albany, New York, and a regular contributor to Morning Air. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Award-winning author Marge Fennellan will be with us to talk about forgiving that person in your heart who you sometimes refuse to forgive. Do stay with us. There's much more as Morning Air continues.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. It's good to be with you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Now I want to talk about what I believe is a really important issue here during this time of Lent, and that's the issue of forgiveness, something that affects so many people and affects especially families. In fact, do you have a relative or a friend who perhaps did something to you and you just can't seem to forgive them? How do you forgive the person your heart refuses to forgive? Lent is a time for a conversion of heart. We're now joined by Marge Fennellan with much more on forgiving from the heart. Marge is an award-winning author, internationally known speaker, and a Catholic media personality. Good morning, Marge. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's great to be with you once again.
Great to be here and great to be talking about a topic that is near and dear to my heart. This is something I've worked on for many, many years within myself, but then also helping others. So, yes, that one person your heart refuses to forgive, we've all got them. Everybody has at least one. And for some of us, it could be a whole group of people, which we can get into a whole bunch of different issues with that. But there are some key things that if we knew or spend some time meditating on and practiced, that could help us to forgive that person or those people that our hearts refuse to forgive.
Marja, I'm so glad that you mentioned that this is an issue that's dear to your heart, because obviously it's affected just about all of us. Did you ever have a personal experience struggling to forgive someone yourself? Is that how you've learned about this personally?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So I was raised by a mom, God bless her, literally, who was deeply troubled mentally, spiritually, and was abusive. There really isn't a better word for it. It took me many, many years to reach that point of being able to truly forgive the things that she had done or not done, in the cases of things where she wasn't able to fulfill her motherly obligations. That process, and I really, John, I can't take credit for myself. It wasn't like I sat down and decided, well, I'm going to work through this, so I'm going to figure this out. It was God leading me through the steps and my realization in later years that I have to share that. Actually, it was my siblings who said, you have to share that because you fared better than the rest of us, and you need to explain to people how you can work through such an awful situation like this. So those things I hold precious, all of the things I learned, because I know that I meant to share them. So forgiving my mother was not a sudden, oh, I forgive you and it's all good. It was a many-year process, and I think that likely it has been or will be true for our listeners. This idea that, I do not like the term forgive and forget. I think that gives a false impression that people can just decide, oh, just forget about it, and everything's going to be wonderful. Well, for some of us, perhaps many of us, when we've got that person that our heart refuses to forgive, that just keeps burbling up inside of us. Even if we pretend we're forgetting, we have to work through all of that upset and anger that lies in our heart. And for many of us, the reasons that we find it so hard to forgive is because we're really looking for, deep down, we're looking for justification or vindication, proof that we're right in feeling upset with that person because of the way they've hurt us or harmed us, or in vindication, we can't wait till they get theirs. And, if we're very honest with ourselves, I think we all have at least that tendency toward those kinds of feelings.
I started to say, Marge, what was the key? What was it that pushed you over the top where you were ready to forgive your mom from your heart?
The key came in this. It's hard to put a pointer exactly on the date, but I came to this point where I realized, no matter what she's done or said or not done, she's a child of God. God loves her even if I can't. And there were times when I really thought that I could not love my mother. It was a very, you can imagine what a difficult situation that was for me. But the realization, and I think this is the key for all of us, if we can get to the point of realizing that the person we're struggling or persons we're struggling to forgive, that person is a child of God. And God made that person. I mean, look at the Bible. Just look at Scripture, and you'll see God made every human being. God loves every human being as his own cherished child, even if that person, just like a natural parent, loves the child who is deeply troubled, misbehaves, that love doesn't go away. So we have to understand that that's the relationship that God the Father has with this person. You know, we may not get all warm and fuzzy thinking about God's love for that person. That's okay. That's not the point here, is to respect that God made that person, God loves that person, God has a plan for that person, even though the person may have hurt you terribly. And not only that, but then we have to realize there are two other kind of spin-offs from that, this realization that that person or those people are children of God. And the first is that if that person is a child of God, that also means I am a child of God. That means God loves and cherishes me above all. And whatever has happened or ever will happen to me, this is part of God's plan for me to help me get to heaven. And the other part of that is for both ourselves and that other person, if we're children of God and God has a plan for us, then that means that God will take care of that person. And this is where the healing really broke open for me with my mom. It's not my job to punish her. It wasn't my job to look for justification or figure out how she was going to learn her lesson for being so mean or, you know, whatever, you know, things go through our heads when someone's hurt us. That's not our job. That's God's job. And he definitely will take care of that person. That's the part we need to let go. Forgive and forget. I think the forget should not be what the person did, because we've learned something valuable from that. But forget in the sense that, you know, that's just not my job. Let God do his thing with that person. Just forgive and let it go.
Absolutely. And Marge, here during Lent, as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you really meditate on the words of the Our Father, it's almost impossible not to forgive if you really take those words to heart, because when you consider how much God has forgiven us, we also have to find a way to forgive others.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that joggled my memory as well. And one of the things that got me even thinking about, oh boy, I better at least try to forgive this woman. I was in my teens and I heard a homily just about that very thing. You know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Holy mackerel.
One really thing is to hear it, another thing is to live it, Marge.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of like, okay, now I heard in a homily and I think I've been called to the task. I'm not liking this very much, but I know God's telling me that clearly this is what, if we don't forgive, we're not going to be forgiven. I mean, just says it outright. So, despite from all of the things that I've said in this segment, I mean, really, that's the bottom line. If we don't do this, then there's a good chance we won't be forgiven.
And there's many scriptures in which our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us of the importance of forgiving. In fact, his very words, one of the seven words on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He totally understands forgiving. What happens if we don't forgive? Can you talk about how it affects us, how it affects our entire being, it affects our soul, our hearts, even our body?
Absolutely. Well, there in the medical journals, unforgiveness is actually listed as a medical disease. And there's a long explanation that we don't quite have time for this morning. But basically, it puts you in this constant state of anxiety. It's kind of that fight and flight, fight or flight response where it never turns off. Okay, so that's physically anger harms you. But it also separates you from God because you're not acting in a godly way. So it really harms, they say, you know, when you don't forgive somebody, it really hurts you more than it hurts them. They probably don't really care a whole lot whether you've forgiven them or not. It hurts you. So it eats at you, changes your perspective on life. And I was finding that a lot. in my own life. It clouds your vision of life and God's will for you. And just those two things is enough to make you realize, well, this is a really harmful thing.
Well, here in Lent, it's a great opportunity to put these words of our Lord of forgiveness into practice. Marge, I so much appreciate your time. I want to remind our listeners that Marge also wrote a book called Forgiving Mother, a Marian Novena of Healing and Peace that might also be of great help to find healing and forgiving. Thanks so much, Marge. Thanks for being with us.
You are very welcome. Blessed Lent.
Many blessings to you. Marge Fenelon, award-winning author, internationally known speaker, and for much more, you can go to margefenelon.com. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Eric Scheidler, the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League, is going to be with us to share his unique Lenten prayer challenge. Stay with us. There's much more to come after this.
Connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks for joining us this morning as we head down the stretch of this show. Now, prayer is one of the three things that Catholics are called to practice during this season of Lent. But how can we really put this into practice? We have an idea for you this morning. It's the Lenten Prayer Challenge, brought to you by the Pro-Life Action League. Joining us now with much more is Eric Scheidler with some of the details. Eric is the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League, which is based in Chicago, Illinois. Eric speaks frequently on pro-life activism, religious liberty, marriage, and the family to audiences across the country, and of course is a regular contributor to this show. Good morning, Eric. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's always great to be with you to talk about life.
Well, good morning to you, John, in this season of happy sorrow, as we call it in the Lenten season.
Absolutely. In fact, before we talk about your Lenten challenge, I'd love to get your reaction on the Women's Health Protection Act that failed earlier this week in the U.S. Senate.
Well, I think the failure of that bill illuminates a couple of things for us. One is the desperation of the pro-abortion forces at this moment, when it looks like Roe versus Wade is on the verge of being utterly dismantled by the Supreme Court, a day we've worked for almost 50 years. This act is a desperate attempt to, you know, avoid the what would for them be the calamity of Roe v. Wade being overturned or rolled back significantly. So we have to be on guard against that kind of radicalism. But it also shows that the American people are not in favor of this. Fortunately, it takes 60 votes in our Senate to end debate on a topic and move on to a vote. So the fact that they were not able to get those votes shows that there's still enough pro-life people in America, enough voters, and these politicians know it, that they weren't able to push that bill all the way through. But it also highlights the urgency of keeping a pro-life presence strong in Congress. You know, right now we have about 50 pro-life senators, counting a couple of Democrats in that list, at least on some issues like Joe Manchin. We've got a couple of pro-choice or pro-abortion Republican senators. We got an election this year. We're going to be electing a third of the Senate. We all have got to get out there on election day, which means we got to register to vote. So really, the takeaway from this bill for any pro-lifer who's not registered is register to vote, and vote in your primary and vote in the general election for pro-life candidates, especially to the U.S. Congress and Senate, where this bill could undo everything we fought for in trying to overturn Roe v. Wade.
And Eric, I think that we also need to pray for our Catholic president. President Joe Biden yesterday was challenged by an EWTN reporter, and he was asked why he supports abortion rights in spite of his Catholic faith, and just as his wife came to whisk him away. Take a listen.
Last night you said you support Roe v. Wade as a Catholic. Why do you support abortion as a Catholic?
I tell you what, I don't want to get in a debate with you on theology, but you know, well, anyway, I'm not going to make a judgment for other people.
Erica, your reaction. He doesn't want to get involved in a debate on theology.
Well, I mean, it just shows you the hypocrisy. And if anybody thought Joe Biden really was pro-life, quote unquote, you know, in personally, you know, that's not true, because you wouldn't talk about the theology of this question. There's no question for a Catholic who understands anything about the church, about the incarnation of Christ in the womb of Mary, who prays the Hail Mary, blessed is the fruit of your womb. No Catholic who prays the rosary can be pro-choice. And there is no theological issue here. This is a moral question, whether Joe Biden is going to apply his faith or not. And the sad thing is that when it comes to certain issues, Joe Biden uses his faith explicitly. He talks about welcoming immigrants, welcoming the refugees from other lands and such, and he does so explicitly Christian terms. And he's right. He's right. His faith should inform him to care for the poor, to care for the immigrant, to care for the disadvantaged, to strive for justice. That all should come from his Catholic faith. Why doesn't it count when it comes to unborn babies? There's only one reason that it doesn't count. Because for political reasons, Joe Biden quit being pro-life. He's one of a host of formerly pro-life politicians who changed their positions solely for political gain. That's shameful. And we really need to be praying for Joe Biden to have a radical conversion on this issue.
Absolutely. In fact, it was quite striking to see ashes on his forehead as he was answering that very question about abortion, Eric.
Well, I hope he took those ashes to heart because, you know, we're all going to turn to dust. And when we do, what were our lives about? Are they about political gain, about serving yourself and your party, or are they about serving Christ and his innocent children?
Now, let's switch gears. I want to talk about your Lenten prayer challenge. I find it outstanding. Fill us in.
Well, you know, John, we've been doing this for years and years now. Going back to a particular Ash Wednesday about 7 or 8 years ago when it just sort of came onto my heart to pray for a couple of people involved in the abortion issue that we at the Pro-Life Action League had been kind of, I'd say, knocking heads with, right? There was an abortionist who was becoming an abortionist. She had been a kind of a paleo doctor who was really into natural health and had a family practice. And she somehow got drawn into doing abortion, and we were protesting her, trying to get her to quit abortion and stick with legitimate medicine. It was a journalist we were battling with, and a woman who was organizing escorts outside of abortion facilities. So three different women we've been sort of been locked in battle with, and we said, let's pray for them. So we asked the whole pro-life community to pray for these three women involved in abortion, and then took that on as a practice every year. We'd come up with three intentions, usually three opponents, to be frank, three enemies, to pray for our enemies the way Christ told us to. Well, this year, we're doing things a little bit different in light of the anticipated Dobbs v. Jackson ruling. We're asking pro-lifers across the country not just to pray for three people, but to pray for 78 million people. The entire states of New York, California, and Illinois, because these three states, and there are other bad ones, don't get me wrong, Maryland's pretty bad. Several people have written to say, you got to add Maryland, and that's, we can pray for Maryland too. But those three, California, New York, and Illinois, have really emerged just over the last 3 or 4 years as, deliberately pro-abortion states. California was one of the first states to legalize abortion way back in the late 60s. Sadly, Ronald Reagan signed that first bill. He later came to repent of that publicly. He didn't realize the impact it would have. It was supposed to be for just medical reasons, and it got expanded like it always does. California Governor Gavin Newsom recently declared that California would be a safe haven for a refuge spot for women seeking abortion from states where it had been banned if Roe v. Wade is overturned. State of New York, another very early abortion state. In fact, abortion was legalized there in 1970, and the impact of abortion tourism and other negative aspects of abortion decimating the population was so great that the General Assembly of New York decided to overturn that law. They actually overturned that law a couple years later. Governor Nelson Rockefeller, a Republican, vetoed that repeal, and then Roe v. Wade came along, and the question ended. Now, Illinois, and of course, New York, Governor Cuomo now disgraced Governor Cuomo, lit up the World Trade Center in pink to celebrate the passage of a massive sweeping abortion bill there that removed just about every restriction remaining in the state. Illinois, of course, was a pro-life state early on. There was even a move to add a pro-life flank to the Constitution of our state. But gradually things changed, and in the early 2000s, the state began to be more pro-abortion. First came taxpayer funding of abortion in 2017, then came our Reproductive Health Act, which swept away inspections of abortion facilities and conscience rights and almost every restriction in the state, except for parental notice, which was repealed last year. That goes into effect in June, anyway. So Illinois has emerged an abortion destination, and Governor J.B. Pritzker has explicitly announced that Illinois is welcoming women from Texas, where abortion is currently banned by a new law, and anywhere else in the country to come to Illinois for abortion. And so we're asking the citizens of the United States who care about these issues, our pro-life friends across the country, to pray for these three states at this particular moment, because the pro-lifers in these states, I can speak from experience here, and I know you, John, know what I'm talking about. It's really tough to see the rest of the country advancing pro-life laws in this historic moment where Roe v. Wade is on the chopping block. And yet abortion is growing and expanding in Illinois, especially out-of-state abortions. Women are flocking to the state for abortions from neighboring states where the limits are greater and where there's parental involvement and fewer abortion facilities, less friendly of an atmosphere for abortion. So we need to pray for the pro-lifers. We need to pray for the abortionists. We need to pray for the moms. And we need to pray for the babies to be spared.
Absolutely. And Eric, you know, that number, 78 million people in those three states of California, New York, and Illinois, when you put it in perspective, we have seen 63 million unborn children die since Roe v. Wade from abortion. That's nearly awfully close to the number of people in these three states, if you put it in that perspective.
It's so hard to get your head around the reality of abortion. And you know, the numbers are so big. The numbers are so staggering. How do you even count 63 million aborted babies, you know, especially when their bodies have been flushed away and there's very few burial places for these children or anything like that? Well, one of the ways that you can make that real for yourself during the season of Lent is to go to an abortion facility and pray. There's a 40 Days for Life campaign going on all over the country right now. And even if there's not a 40 Days campaign at your local abortion facility, nothing's keeping you except for your own reluctance from going to that abortion clinic with your rosary, your Bible, and you know, silently praying on the public space there, that God will spare these children, that God will touch their mother's hearts, that they will get the help that they need to choose life for their babies. When you see women going into this facility with their moms, their boyfriends, their aunts, and then you see them coming out, sometimes in tears, sometimes laughing. I mean, all kinds of scenes are seen out there. That makes it real like nothing else ever can. If you've never been out to an abortion facility in person, you really do not understand this issue. And you really need to think about whether that's okay. My dad, Joe Scheidler, passed away last January, used to say, do something pro-life every day. If everyone who says they're pro-life were to take action, the simple, simple action of simply going out to an abortion facility, screwing up their nerves and praying, abortion would be over in our society if we all took action.
May he rest in peace. What a great pro-life champion your dad was. Eric, in the moments that we have, can you tell our listeners how they can get involved? Should they go to your website to be also a part of this official challenge?
Yeah, we'd really love for people to sign up so we can talk about how big this prayer campaign is and let people know. If you go to prolifeaction.org, there'll be a little pop-up there. You can watch my little introduction video where I go through some of the reasons why we're making these prayers. And then you can pledge your prayers and join that the thousands of people across the country who are praying for these three states, praying for those babies to be saved, and really making this a pro-life Lenten journey.
We know that prayer works. All you got to do is look and see the 20,000 plus babies that have been saved from abortion from the work of 40 Days for Life over the recent years, and all the abortion clinics that have closed in recent years. Something like almost 80% of them don't even exist. Many of the ones we used to pray for in front of here in Illinois don't exist anymore, Eric.
That's right. Unfortunately, Planned Parenthood has moved in and opened mega centers to take up a lot of that business. So we really need to be out there at the giant Planned Parenthood centers, and there are so many in our state.
Thanks so much, Eric. Again, prolifeaction.org to be a part of this Lenten prayer challenge. Eric, as always, it's always a joy to be with you.
Have a blessed Lent, John, you and all your listeners.
Thanks so much. You too. Eric Schaller, the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League and a regular contributor to Morning Air. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Jesus is Gonna Win. While a student at Theological College in the United States, Bernard Travaillet was playing basketball with some friends. They were using the court in a nearby school, where a friendly old janitor would patiently wait till they'd finished their game before locking up. One day, Bernard noticed the janitor was reading the Bible. In fact, he discovered the old janitor was reading the book of Revelation. Bernard was surprised. It was a difficult book to interpret even for highly trained Bible students. "Do you understand it?" Bernard asked. "Oh yes," said the janitor, "I understand it." Now Bernard was really intrigued. Here was this book that baffled scholars, that was the focus of every conspiracy theory known to humanity, and this old man, a janitor with little formal education, claimed to understand it. "You understand the book of Revelation?" asked Bernard. "Well, what do you think it means?" The old man looked up at him very quietly and said, "It means that Jesus is going to win." John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world."
Amen, Glenn. Jesus has won. I want to remind you that you can always listen to all of Glenn's Story Corners or Morning Air podcasts or any segment that you might want to share with others. All you have to do is download it on our Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com. If you have a story idea, shoot us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Let's continue to pray for peace in Ukraine. You can pray the rosary with Father Rocky on a family rosary across America, 7 p.m. Central tonight. They had a huge crowd, the biggest ever last night. Also pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy, 3 p.m. Central on the Drew Mariani Show. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air, for Glenn Leverins, for the entire team. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. As Jesus the Lord says, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.